Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, Sign Guy QT with you once again here on a Friday. Real quick before we jump into things, if you're looking for wrestling in the next couple of days, you have tonight WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, UWF in Buchanan, Michigan, UCW in Orange, Virginia, OPW in Jeffersonville, Indiana, a different OPW running a benefit for Alzheimer's in Williamstown, New Jersey, Swag Wrestling in Gleason, Tennessee, and MWF in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, NWWA in Independence, Oregon, UCW back in Mineral, Virginia, UPW in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the MWF in Forge, Tennessee on Saturday. And right now, I want to welcome everyone to Manager's Day here on the program to talk the art of wrestling managers. And just to introduce everyone we have with us, we have Paul Moonshine, Kevin Brandt, Y.T. Jones, P.L. Myers, and Daryl Rose. All fantastic independent wrestling managers. I want to welcome all of you to the show and thank you for being here. And first question, just to kind of get the basics out of the way, if you could tell us how it was that you got into the role of managing for professional wrestling, and we'll start most years in the business, which I believe means P.L. Myers. I believe that's you.
Yeah, I guess I'm the group. It's coming up on 20 years. Been doing it. It started in 2000, April 29th, 2000. And I got the business because I host a television show in Chicago called Hero TV. I started interviewing people from ECW and WWE or WWF back then. And ECW was really taking off in Chicago. And I thought, well, maybe I could become a guy that does interviews. Well, everyone's saying, okay, you've got mic skills, you know the business. And I started traveling with ECW to some of their pay-per-views. And one night we're sitting at in Buffalo, New York with Bill Alfonso and New Jack, and came up with the idea of, hey, why not be a manager? I always grew up watching managers, and Bill Myers that night came together, and I guess a few months later I got started managing my first match, April 29, 2000. With PWI, which became PCW, and the rest is history.
All right, Daryl Rose, I believe you would be next.
Hey, I was trying to call in and be fashionably late, but everybody's already on there, so I guess I am late. Just old fashioned.
Never, D. Rose. Same question. How did you get into the managing of professional wrestling business?
Well, I'm probably the oldest one, not managing, but the oldest age-wise, 71. And I got into it because years ago, back in the 1968, I had a band, played all the houses around Indianapolis, and then we won a battle of the bands. And who was our manager at the time was Bobby Heenan. But he was known then as Ray Heenan. But anyway, he ended up being our manager, Tom Mathis, which was at a radio station. He hooked us up with Heenan, and he used to travel around with us. And Heenan wasn't doing anything in wrestling then except going down to the fairgrounds and getting their coats or whatever they took off and took it to the back. So I kind of learned from him, but it took me years because I was playing in a band to finally get into wrestling. And when I retired, I was in the video business here at the last. When I finally retired, I hooked up with Flash Flanagan, which is lives probably about 2 miles from me. I met him at Planet Fitness, and he said, "Hey, I got a job for you if you want to do it." I said, "What's that?" He said, "We're going to try and take HPW's owner, Jerry Wilson. We're going to try and take the ownership of HPW away from him. We want you to be the bad guy." I said, "I can do that." So, actually, the very first match I ever had or managed anybody in, it was the main event. I was so lucky to know the people that I know that got me into the business and started out as a main event. Can't believe it. All the cards just fell just right.
Absolutely. Now, Kevin Brandt, I believe you would be next in line. How did you get into the managing business?
Well, I'm not as old as him. I'm 62, but I'm getting up there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I grew up in North Portland in Oregon and was always around the Don Owen shows and got to meet some great people like Buddy Rose, Lonnie Mange, Dan Stasiak, Tony Boren, Beauregard, all those guys back then, and I always grew up watching it. And then when I was about 22, 23, I started working for different promotions by doing ring crew, like he was, bring stuff to the back, set up rings and stuff. And then back in 2001, I started with a company called CPW, which is now SCW, then it changed now to World Underground Wrestling, and started managing for Sam Sims, and then I started my own promotion for a while and did that. And then I worked with Dan with NWWA, managed there. And then four of us started DOA, which is still going today, and I managed there for a while. And then now I manage for BCW every weekend. It's just something I've always wanted to do, and because of all the people I met and the people I knew, it was a lot easier to get into it. But I say, anybody out there, you want to do that kind of stuff, you start at the bottom and work your way in. That's the way it's got to be. You got to earn the respect of everybody and do your dues.
Paul Moonshine, I believe you are next in line. How did you get into the managing role?
Well, I don't sit and know the people that some of the other guys knew or Kevin knew or anybody knew, but my son, J.D. Moonshine, he's a professional here in the Northwest, and he's been wrestling for like 15 years, and I told him one day, I've been a fan ever since I was 8 years old. I just turned 65 this month. And I told him if I ever was forced to retire from my job, that's what I'd like to do. So I started out doing pictures and stuff at ringside for different promotions and stuff. And that, and then once I was fully retired, I started putting some gear together to as Paul Moonshine, and it took me a few months here in ECW, but I started as a fan and rooting J.D. on and stuff, and I just kept putting things together as far as gear and stuff, and then one night I decided to make matching hats, JV and Paul Moonshine hats, and I stopped JV on the way to the ring, and I gave him his hat, and then the next week, Tex Thompson, he says, "JV, your match is next." And he said, "Yeah." So he had the referee come out and get me, and he bring his dad back here. And I've been walking out with JD ever since. And now I manage JD, and I manage Jameson Mad Dog Mustang, which is my nephew, and I've managed a few other Mustangers a few years, and now I'm at BCW every Sunday, rooting with Kevin Brown.
True enough. Why period T, period Jones? I think you have the least amount of years in, but you're absolutely incredible. How did you get into the manager role?
Well, originally, I wanted to be a referee because before that, I actually wanted to be a wrestler, but there were just some things that just weren't clicking in the ring with me. So I moved to a different position, which was the referee. And I did that for about a year, and I started, like, messing around in the ring during one of the training sessions and started doing my Cat Williams impression. And my coach, JT West, looked at me and said, you got about 6 more months as a ref because I'm putting you over as a manager because I know that you have the ability to talk. You're hilarious. You can be a heel if you want to. You pretty much have the package that a manager is supposed to have. So after the 6 months is done, you're moving over to management, and I've been pretty much, he was actually my first client. JT West was my first client, and that night he won the NFWA championship under my guidance, you know. So I've been doing it ever since 2014 as a manager.
Now, the art of managing has changed somewhat in mainstream wrestling. You don't see very many managers at all in the national companies. They're starting to make a little bit of a comeback, but on the independents, managers have always been around, and they've been a central part of professional wrestling. Looking at the landscape of the mainstream wrestling and the independent world, do you think that art of managing is still healthy, or do you think that we're starting to lose the art of managers in wrestling and getting away from having a good quality future for managers in the business? And we will start with P.L. Myers.
Well, I think the thing is that most of the gentlemen that are on the line love the business. They all got in the business because of the business. I've had the pleasure to work with the greatest legends in the business, these other gentlemen. You filed your chapter of dream. And the thing is, I think the art of managing has been lost in some ways because the wrestlers don't need managers sometimes because they're given a script. You speak from the heart. I mean, there's situations where the promoter will, for myself, put me with a talented wrestler, guy's got $1 million body, but just can't get his Austin twisted with a mouth. I mean, Bobby Heenan and Rick Rude sometimes. I mean, Rick Rude can speak, but that was the idea that they wanted to do. So I think the thing is that if you look over the history of wrestlers, managers, most managers were sometimes former wrestlers like Bobby the Brain Heenan, who got into the business and also was a manager. And some guys got in the business like Jim Cornette or Jimmy Hart. That weren't really managers, but they were part of the business. But I think the thing is that promoters, a lot of managers can't find their niche. They copy managers, and there's not a different look and a different style because we all try to find that style to promote our athletes. So WWE, and you haven't seen it in AEW yet, or TNA had a manager that really was, Mr. Minister, that could really get the point across for his athletes. So, and WWE over the years, I interviewed Vince McMahon at the XFL, and I said, will the role of the male manager come back? He said, yeah, with the right gimmick and character. Well, I haven't seen the right gimmick and character except for Paul Heyman, but he's a proven manager. Other managers that he put are in wrestlers like Rico, or I think Mondo Estrada was in some too, or a lot of them. So I think yes and no, it has lost and some of it coming back, but you got to find the right guy with the right talent, and then maybe it'll work.
Daryl Rose, what about you? Where do you think the health is as far as managers in wrestling today?
On the mainstream, they have taught, and they teach the wrestlers acting. They teach them to speak for themselves and, you know, promote themselves. But like everybody was saying on the independent scene, the guy needs to actually be a car salesman, because you got all the fans out there and you're trying to sell your car or the wrestler to those fans. If that's the best guy there is, nobody can beat him, and you got to just be really full of crap and just sell it and not take any of the fans away from what's going on in the ring either. You want them to watch. You want to promote that. You want them to come back and listen to you and watch them.
Evan, what about you? Where do you see the health of the managing role on wrestling, be it mainstream and or independent?
Well, the mainstream's kind of gone downhill. I agree with that. They, like he said, they learn how to do everything themselves. But like in independent wrestling, like at BCW, we've had a few people that just didn't get over enough. They just couldn't find their click heel face. And since I've been managing, nobody likes me anyway. So if they want to make him a heel, they just put him with me. And then it usually goes over pretty good. But like you said, the job is to talk them up. And then when that match starts, let them do what they do. And then if you're going to help them out, you do what you got to do. But it's about the wrestler and just getting them to letting the crowd know who he is and making sure that we help him along.
Paul Moonshine, what about you? What do you think the current health of managing is as far as mainstream and independent wrestling?
Oh, with me, it's kind of a little bit harder to do than it is for Kevin or some of the other guys, because I'm a face manager, so it's kind of hard to sometimes trying to get the fans to root for your guy or get them going but it's a challenge sometimes even for me to try to get them going, unless I'm out there with a heel manager where you know then the people want to see me hit the heel or whatever, but yeah, you know, I can't do that unless the heel does something to me first.
Y period T period. What about you?
I pretty much agree with what all the other managers were just saying. Pretty much everybody hit it on the head as far as like the mainstream and the independent. And I fully agree with you have to be a car salesman pretty much. And I kind of stole a stick from one of my good friends, Joseph Brookman. He said, you know, if you know anything about basketball, that, like, this is what I tell my clients. Look, you are already good at what you do. You are the Michael Jordan of what you do. Let me be your Scottie Pippen and make you greater. Let me be that helping hand that you didn't know that you needed, but now you know you need, and let me work my magic with you, you know? And, you know, that's just how I do it. It's the basketball analogy, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, let me be your Scottie Pippen to your Michael Jordan, and I promise you, you will win championships, and you will go on to great things.
Now, the managers have a unique vantage point. A lot of times they are right there at the heart of the action. They're at ringside. They can see the match in a way that most people cannot. Obviously, when you're there, you can be kind of the eyes for the promotion and evaluate talent. Most of you have worked with newer talent, or talent that's not a regular for your home promotions. When you're out there and you're evaluating talent, what do you look for as far as how you can tell if they're a good fit, not only for yourself, but potentially for the promotion where you work? And we'll start with P.L. Myers.
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, when you're trying to find that right fit, I don't want to speak for the other managers, but you have to be able to make yourself fit for that talent, because sometimes you get put together with talent that are the land of the misfit toys because you're already hated to begin with. In Chicago, I formed a stable called the Chicago Connection, and that stable had championship after championship. Everyone that joined that stable won a championship, so that was a given, and they became hated. And the thing is that when you're evaluating talent, it's hard to do that sometimes because, A, when you're put in the position as a manager, the promotion is giving you the talent. Most times you're not coming to a company with your guy, because you got to have that chemistry, because there are times where you're put together with the greatest talent in the world, but you just don't click because they have a different way of how they want to get over. And then there are times where you're watching the card and saying, hey, this guy could get over. Because remember, you know, I was told back one, you could be the greatest manager, greatest promoter, greatest guy on the stick, but if the promoter doesn't push you, you're not going to go anywhere. And you could get that call tomorrow from WWE or Tony Khan and say, hey, PL, I want you to come up with your best talent. Well, your best talent might not be your own guy. It could be somebody else that has that veteran skills that could offer something. Because remember, when you have that one shot, it's not about your guy. It's about who's going to get you through the door. So, but when you have your own talent, you try to create them and you sit down with them and talk to them. All right, what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Because you want to be on the same page. Because if you're not on the same page, you're going to go nowhere. And I've been very fortunate that we all were on the same page. The page was Chicago Connection. We're the most dominant group. We're everything you're not, nothing that you'll be. And that was it. They could be the greatest talent or the greatest wrestler, but it became where they hated. Did we get our job done? So when you evaluate talent, 9 times out of 10, you're given the talent to begin with, or, you know, you like to work with this talent, but sometimes that great talent doesn't need a manager to get over. So it's a double-edged sword when you're managing.
D-Rose, how about you?
I don't want to take up too much time, but Flash Flanagan does the booking down at HPW in Columbus, Indiana, and he was looking at me one day in the back and laughing. And I said, what's the matter? He says, I got somebody I want you to manage. I said, all right. I'm game. And it ended up, he calls the guy Abraham Muhammad. And he comes out with the turban on. He comes out, you know, waving the flag. Or I've waved the flag either way. And he was a Middle Eastern sympathizer. And those people hated that guy down there. And we got stuff thrown at us. And in intermission time to go to the bathroom, we had to go somewhere else. The crowd just couldn't stand us, which means we got over great. And I loved it. But anyway, he's matched me up with a ton of different odds and ends people just to, you know, see what I could do with them. And my question is to the managers here, do you guys actually manage or, you know, like book your clients, or do you just go into the ring, do whatever, you know, your stick, and then come back and just be a normal person? Because I was always under the impression that managers book people, or should be, and, you know, make sure they get to the venue, things like that. But I get to looking at now, managers only are there just for the match, and that's it. They're actually not managers.
Kevin Bryant, how about you? You're in a little bit of a different role because you also co-own a promotion. But do you think that managing enables you to kind of scout talent, see who might work out for you, might not, might be a good fit for your company, might not?
Yeah, I do that all the time because first and most of all, I'm a fan. And as a fan, I know I like to see. And sometimes when BCW or somebody will bring something in, I'm in the back watching. The guy has the talent, but the crowd doesn't understand him or they don't know who he is, I'll talk to Bad Blood. I'll sit there and listen. I think we can do something with this guy. He's got the talent. He just needs the push. And I brought BJ or Bad Blood into Portland 20 years ago, and him and I are pretty tight. He said, you do what you want to do. You talk to him. You set it up. And that's why I now have the Brant Dynasty, which is one of the most hated ones in Portland. And I've had the pleasure of doing Ricky Fuji. I think you were there for that match. And I've managed Leatherface, Raven, and stuff. So, yeah, I have seen people and asked if I could bring them in. And I've gone to the airport and picked them up, and I've done all that. And, yeah, I enjoy doing it. And, I do get more involved than most when it comes to doing this because I try to get them booked on the shows and things like that. So, yeah, I enjoy doing all that.
Paul, how about you? Do you ever scout talent there at ringside when you're managing and try to get a feel for who you might want to manage and who you might not?
Well, not a whole lot. I have had the privilege of going out to the ring with Jason Kincaid, Casey Carlisle, and a few others. Now it's Zach Winters. We're just trying to anybody that wants to book J.B. Moonshine or Jameson. My promise is that I make sure that they get there. Whether I have to supply the gas or whatever, I make sure that they get there because I want to see them do as well as they possibly can. And I make sure they get there. We've never missed a booking or anything. And I try to if I'm able to be out at ringside with anybody that I have not been able to be at ringside with before, I'm obligated to do my best to try to get them over as best we possibly can.
Why, period, T-period, I know you have eyes everywhere because you travel a lot. When you're out there managing, do you do scouting? Are you looking for guys that might be a good fit for the home promotion, maybe getting a good feel for who works with you as a manager, that type of thing?
Of course. I'm always out there. I'm always trying to make sure that I have different talent any chance that I get. I advocate for people when I come back to Alaska. You know, I'm advocating for Alaska anytime I go, you know, anytime I go to Seattle, anytime I go anywhere, basically, you know. And to answer the question that was asked, do I travel with my guys? I do travel with some of my guys, but they do their own bookings because I'm only 6 years in the game, and most of the guys that I manage, they've already been doing this for quite some time, and they've already got their own connections. And I've actually lucked out. I feel like I've been a super lucky manager as far as traveling and everything goes, because I really don't have to look for talent all that much, because I've had a lot of guys come up to me and be like, hey, what are you doing right now? Can you manage us? I love your skills. I think you have that right fit, and I'm all for that. You know, if guys want to come up to me and have me manage them, I'm all for it, as long as it makes sense, as long as it's a good fit, you know what I mean? And yeah, so I'm willing to put in the work, but for the majority of the part, I don't have to really put in that work as far as like getting people booked, because majority of the guys, like I said, they've already have themselves established already. So I feel lucky at that. But like I said before, I'm not above doing what a manager is supposed to do. Like not turning it off when I go backstage and all that, still kind of advocating and all that. So,
as someone who has also managed quite a bit in the business, I know that oftentimes the managers are not the most popular people in the building on a given show, and sometimes things get heated between the fans and the managers, and that sometimes escalates to very tense situations. I know I've been in a couple that were rather tense. P.L. Myers, have you ever been in the situation with a fan where things started to get a little bit ugly on you?
I think there's been a few. You know, I think sometimes it's instigated by the, like we had in Chicago. I was managing ringside and someone's pulling on my jacket, and all of a sudden I'm thinking it's some of the kids or whatever. All of a sudden the timekeeper's like, "Hey, pull his jacket, pull his jacket." Well, there's all of a sudden this drunken fan started grabbing really hard, and I thought it was a kid. I turned around and he wanted to deck me. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I stood back, you know, I did what I had to do, actually kind of stop the match because they weren't used to that, of me getting them upset. But 9 times out of 10, I've been very fortunate not to really upset people. I mean, I get people, you know, you come out there and, you know, you get their emotions. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to grab the emotions out of them. And if I don't get those fans saying I suck, or they're booing me, or, you know, get the hell out of here or whatever, you know, I'll just retort back something smarter than them to make them actually think. Because, you know, you're in Chicago, if I'm going up to Wisconsin, oh, the Packers suck. Well, that's just cheap heat. I'm going to make something that I read in the paper or something that makes them think and go, well, yeah, he's a jerk, but, you know, he's actually, you know, in depth in what's going on. So I think the thing is that you try to do it, the business sometimes, because some of these other guys were talking about, you know, not only are they managing, they're also promoting. And when I worked with Chicago and PCW, I also had to get sponsors. So it's hard to wear that same cap as a manager, like, oh, yeah, you're the guy that yelled at my kid. Why am I going to give you money to sponsor the show? So there are times where it works both ways, where, you know, you gain the emotions and then sometimes you got to pull back. But I try to do it where, you know, I'm going to make them hate me, but also, you know, I'm cocky, but I'm actually more convinced. So I've been very fortunate where I haven't had too many people swing at me, but I know I've gotten the emotion out of them the best way I can.
D. Rose, you and I have managed at the same place. I know those fans can get a little bit rambunctious, if you will. Have you had any close calls there at the HPW Arena?
No, not with the fans. I think the fans leave it up to the owner of the place to take care of me, which he does. I've been hit with kendo sticks, been hit with chairs by him. And, of course, then they have strap matches every once in a while where the crowd gets a strap. I think they buy them for a couple of bucks. They hand out maybe 100 or so straps, and whenever myself or whoever our manager gets thrown out of the ring, the actual fans can come up and whip the crap out of you. And only when we get thrown out. Of course, the good guy gets thrown out, he don't get whipped. But I know, Jason, you have no idea what it's like to be hit by a fireball, do you?
I've had some experience in that regard, yes.
Yeah, I know. That was an inside one. And I got hit with a fireball before. So it's or you get your hair shaved off. Or I never got it shaved off. They did get it cut, though. But they usually know that I'll be handled somehow by the owner, which 3 people last week threw me out of 2 different matches. Took me off of the ring apron, led me to the back, and I couldn't come out no more. But, no, as far as the individual fans, I haven't gotten into it with them. 2 months ago, we did have a fan that got up into the ring. I think he got a little bit too much to drink. And he got his head stomped. It got stomped by the guy that was in there wrestling.
Kevin Brown, I know you're a heat magnet. Have you ever had any close calls with the fans getting too involved with the action?
Well,
about 15 years ago with NWWA, I had one that wanted to come over the top and kick my ass. But I had my guys with me. They calmed them down. But you know how it goes, sign guy. Every time I come out, my music hits, fans boo. I get things thrown at me sometimes, which we do put a stop to. But it's like he said, the owners take care of me. I've been hit with a kendo stick. I've gone through a table. Remember last year I had to dress like a lady after I lost to raise money for kids and I had my pictures taken in the ring dressed like a woman. So, yeah, the fans know in the long run that I'm going to get mine. So it's pretty much just verbal, which is fine with me.
Paul, you're a little bit different because usually the fans are on your side. But have you ever been in a situation where things got very tense at ringside as a manager?
Oh, not with the fans. I have been attacked many times. There was a time where Tommy Celsius gave me a pile driver, and I had to carted out. In fact, you were there at the time where they had to take me out on a stretcher, and I had to go in for neck surgery, and then there was a time where Tectonic put me in a camel clutch and messed up my back, and I had to have surgery on my back. And then there was the time where the Freak Show attacked me, and all of them attacked me and stuff, then at the time Zach Winters was the leader of the Freak Show, and he came down on a chair on my foot, and I had to go in for surgery on that. There's been several times, and then over a year ago I was in a manager versus manager match with Kevin Brandt, and I pinned him, and his guy, one of his guys, that liked it and attacked me from the back and put me in the hospital because I couldn't go out for JB's match. There's been several incidences where I've been attacked and hospitalized and what have you. So it gets pretty tense.
Now, why Chief Pierre Jones, you've been in some crazy things, I know, adult shows and so forth. Have you ever had the fans get a little too out of control on you?
I had one guy actually get up out of his seat because I was running down the promoter, Matthew Plant, of Power Plant Productions, trying to get that heat on me. And I said something that the guy didn't like. He stood up. Then he got on the apron. I told him, I said, sir, you might want to sit back down because you have no clue who you're dealing with. I'm not the biggest and I'm not the baddest, but when it comes to being in this ring, this is not your segment. You don't want to be here right now. I told him I would slap the taste out of his mouth if he does not get off the ring apron. He jumped in the ring, so I had to do what I had to do, and that was the only altercation that I've ever had as far as, like, a fan or whatever have you. But usually I try to stop. I try not to get into it with fans too much. I'll say something quick to make them, ow, that stung a little bit. You know what I mean? And then have them shut up and watch the match again. Or I'll say something like, this isn't about me. This is about my client. And if you continue to disrespect my client while he's working, I'll have him get out of the ring and slap the taste out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Something like that. I always put it back on my client. Like, this is the guy you should be watching. You know what I mean? Like, It just is what it is. When I'm out there, it's all about my clients. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm out there, but you should be focused on my client because my client's the one that's actually putting his body on the line. You know what I mean? So I understand that sometimes I do things that people don't like, but I like to nip it in the bud super quick and make it go back, put the focus back on my client.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has a few questions for you guys, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, managers.
Hello.
Kevin, now, Sign Guy earlier touched on fan interference, and YT Jones just commented on that. There was a famous incident, or infamous incident, in Portland about 7 years ago where
you
fell.
You're going to bring up the shoe, right?
Well, yes, yeah, someone tried to grab your shoes. Have you ever found out the identity of that person?
No, I haven't, but I ended up losing one of them. I know that, and you've been bringing that up every year I talk to you. But, yeah, it depends. I mean, I've had some funny things happen and stuff, but nothing where it would – I had a guy get mad at me one time when I was doing the DOA show, and I was managing the Honor Society – because he was in a wheelchair, and he said he was going to kick my ass, so I climbed four stairs and told him, come get me. Well, you know, that didn't go over real well with the fans, but he talked to me later. He thought it was funny. So, you know, it's just I don't try to do anything to – it's like he said, I want everybody to pay attention to the client in the ring. You know, I'll get them going. I'll do this and that, and I'll do what I'm called upon to do. But, yeah, and things like that happen. It's all in the game.
Oh, okay. Well, for some reason, I know your exact shoe size.
Probably because you got my damn shoes.
Oh, okay. Jig it up. Okay. All right. Well, Daryl, what was the name of your band in the 1960s that you belonged to, and were you the drummer?
Yes, I was the drummer. The Emperors. And we won Battle of the Bands in 65. And then the radio station that was running the Battle of the Bands contest, WIFE at the time, had a guy named Tom Mathis working there. And by coincidence, he was the ring announcer for WWA, which is Dick the Bruiser's organization back then. And he ended up knew Bobby Heenan. And that kind of, you know, one thing led to the other where he couldn't go around with us at shows, so he had Bobby Heenan come with us and collect the money, make sure we got there, whatever. Keep the girls away, you know.
Wow. All right. Did you ever see a band from Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the late 60s called the Spot Blotters or the Four Flames?
Four Flames, maybe, not Spot Blotters. No, no. Haven't heard of them.
Oh, okay, but you know of the Four Flames?
That sounds familiar. I don't know them, no. I don't think so. Just heard of them.
Okay. All right. Did you ever get the chance to see John McKay and Steppenwolf?
Oh, yes.
Ooh. Okay.
Yes,
how about Iggy and the
a few times at the fairgrounds, Indianapolis State Fairgrounds, they played there, and I think a couple other places back then. That was before people started dying off.
Okay. Did you happen to see Iggy and the Stooges in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
We went to Chicago one time at the Opera Theater, I believe, and seen Iggy there.
Oh, okay. Wow,
well,
very,
Ann Arbor,
very good.
I can't say enough about being old. I love being old because when I grew up, I got to see all the great bands. I got to see Evening with Led Zeppelin. I've seen Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, all of them. Love them.
Wow.
But right now, what my next step is going to be, I hope, to help promote the organization down in Columbus. I want to become the world's oldest wrestling rookie.
Oh.
I want to learn how to wrestle and be the rookie for a year or however long.
Hey, maybe you could have a match with QT Vokes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's very good. Okay. Do you think you're a natural babyface or heel?
I would have to be a heel, I would guess, because – I don't know why. It's just the way I look. Everybody down there calls me KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I look like Colonel Sanders, I guess.
Oh.
But better than Ronald McDonald, I guess. But,
or Grimace.
I don't know whether I can throw this out to the other guys, the managers. If, now, see, I was in the video business for years. I go down to the Hoosier Pro Wrestling anyway, and I tape everything. And I videotape it and then put it on YouTube within the next week or so. So everybody's matches and all the wrestlers are on YouTube if anybody ever wants to see them, and myself. But that helps get their name out and promote them really all over the world.
Well, Daryl, in the 1970s, I would think in the upper Midwest, you may have seen some groundbreaking women in the wrestling business, such as Princess Little Cloud, Fabulous Moolah, Cora Combs, Peggy Allen, or perhaps Majorie Ramsey. Did you happen to see any of these pioneering women wrestlers?
Yeah, Cora Combs and Mae Young.
Oh, okay. Wow. Cora Combs. It's too bad that you couldn't have your rookie break-in oldest wrestler with Cora Combs. Yes.
Yeah.
He's probably in pretty good shape.
Get my
very
butt
good shape.
Kicked.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Pa Moonshine, why period T period Jones stated that as manager, he plays a Scottie Pippen role to his clients that are Michael Jordan-like. My question is, do you consider yourself in a Kevin McHale role while J.B. Moonshine represents Larry Bird?
Why are you asking me stupid questions for? You're asking everybody else intelligent questions. You ask me stupid questions.
He knows who he's talking to.
You know, I might be from the hills, and I might be from the mountains where a lot of things I say you don't understand. But you know, you need to say something, talk about something that I understand.
Oh, okay. Well, I will try to think back in my high school days when I took typewriting, and maybe I can ask a typewriter-like question. Like, have you ever used a typewriter ribbon as a foreign object? Yes.
I've never used a foreign object other than I have my walking stick. If I need to use it, I'll use it, but that's all I need.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Pa, if you could travel back 22 to 25 years and have a tryout with Y period T period Jones, could you see yourself passing the test to become a wrestler and join his rather stable-like roster of clients, kind of like in a role of Starsky in Starsky and Hutch, while YT represents a Huggy Bear-like persona?
You know, I do believe that I'm quite a bit older than YT Jones, and so I don't even think that he could have been managing 22, 25 years ago when I was still around.
Well, is it safe to say that you're as old as Starsky?
What?
Is it safe to say you're as old as Starsky? I think that would be good, yes.
I probably am.
Well, Pa, do you think I'm wrong in saying that YT doesn't represent a Huggy Bear-like persona? I think he does, yes.
YT is, for the short time that I've known him and we've worked many places together and stuff, he's an incredible manager, and he's an incredible person. So he can manage anybody he wants to manage.
Is there any chance that you can go half and half with Y period T period Jones on a 1972 Cadillac Eldorado and go to a card in Wyoming split the gas money and travel in a pimp mobile.
As long as he doesn't have it going down like a jumping Mexican jumping bean, I could probably manage it quite nicely.
But come on, a Mexican jumpy bean, it's all in the hydraulics and the rims. Yes.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, I get a little motion sickness. So as long as we can just go straight down the road, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Kevin, have you ever been to a wrestling card that had two women managers in the role of babyface managers? That's a very rare event.
No, I haven't. Boy, where do you get these questions?
Well, that last one was very legitimate, yes.
I know, but give Pa a chance. You're asking him some crazy crap.
I can only hope I see Pa in a lowrider one of these years. Yes, a lowrider. Okay.
I'm sure if you buy one, he'll be in it.
Oh, all right.
Well,
okay.
We got just a few minutes left. I want to make sure everybody here gets a chance to say anything and plug anything they would like. We'll start with P.L. Myers. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote absolutely anything you'd like. Floor is yours.
Well, first of all, thank you for letting me come on the panel with all these other gentlemen that have distinguished careers and managers, and I'm glad we're still keeping the role of the male manager alive of this brotherhood. As far as what I'm doing in Chicago, you can catch me at POW Entertainment Wrestling that's in Chicago. We're going to be up in Fox Lake July 20th, where my athlete, my champion, the Midwest champion, the future Matt Dwyer, will be defending his title against Acid Jazz. And then also you can see other things that I do around in Chicago. Just look me up as P.L. Myers on Facebook and see what we're doing in Chicago. So, again, thank you, and it's an honor and pleasure to work with the gentleman that I do in Chicago and coming on your show today.
All right, thank you. Daryl Rose, go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Jason, for giving me a call. Let me mouth off on this phone line. And by the way, too bad you only have a little short time left. I would like to hear some of the managers of the most unusual foreign objects. Now, I'll tell you, we had one 2 years ago down in Columbus that was a 30-inch TV set that Butcher Manson smashed against Duke the Nuke's head. Busted it all up.
I remember that.
I thought it was funny myself, but I don't know.
I don't think Butcher did.
No. But anyway, the most unusual foreign object. Maybe do it next time.
All right, any other plugs, anything you need to get out there?
I don't think we're having a show. We usually have it the first Saturday of every month, except this month because I think people are shooting off dynamite or, what is it, 4th of July or something around there. So no show this month, August, whatever the first Saturday in August is. I'll be down there inviting everybody.
That would be August the 3rd, next time back at the HPW Arena.
Okay.
All right, and Kevin Brand, anything you want to say, plug and promote, go right ahead.
Yeah, I got BCW this weekend, like every weekend, and I am the third member of a six-man tag match, which the promoter decided it was good for me to get in the ring, even though I'm not a wrestler, but I'll be there. That's what I do. I help my guys. And I'm there every Sunday, and then on July 7th, the other promotion I'm with, DOA, will be doing Harvey's Comedy Club. We're bringing in Joey Ryan for that show, so that will be interesting, but that's July 7th. But every Sunday in Northport, you can come see BCW. I want to thank you, Jason, and everybody else that's been on here. It's been a pleasure listening to some of the stories, and hope to be on there again sometime.
Absolutely. You know you're always welcome. Paul Moonshine, what have you got?
Well, first of all, again, every Sunday at VCW, and remember Kevin, he out of my way. yeah. This weekend, my champions, the BCW Worldwide Tag Team Champions, Zach Winters and JV Moonshine will be going against the Freak Show, defending their titles. June 29th, JV and I will be up in Tacoma, defending his Northwest Pro Heavyweight Championship. August 3rd, JB, myself, and Jameson will be up in Marysville. We got an adult show up there August 3rd. I would like to have an invitation out to YT Jones. Sometime I would love for him to come to BCW. If he can work at some time to where we're at CPW and he drives to Portland with me and stay at my place and then he goes to BCW and I'll take him to the airport here in Portland or whatever. That would be my honor to have him come to BCW.
Oh, I would, you know, I would take you up on that, sir.
There we go. I would love to see Y period, T period, and BCW as well. Now, speaking of the aforementioned Y period, T period, anything you want to say, plug, and promote, go right ahead with it.
Actually, I have a lot to plug and promote, so just bear with me real quickly. Here in Alaska, we just opened up a new pro wrestling school. It's called 907 Pro Wrestling Academy. If there's anybody that's in Alaska that's listening to this podcast right now and you've always dreamed of wanting to do something in pro wrestling, now is the time to jump on board. Once again, that's 907 Pro Wrestling Academy. I have, for my company, the 49th State Wrestling here in Alaska, June 28th is going to be at the finale, the 49th State Brewing Company. We're going to have that on the 28th. And then on the 30th, we're going to be at the Four Corners Lounge for 49th State Wrestling. That's called Red, White, and Matsu. Then CPW is August 3rd. It's at the Curtin Theater in Washington. I also have what else? Oh, I cannot forget this. I have the Human Tornado coming in for my other company for Northwest Pro for our 6-year anniversary on the 20th. Of July. So that's our 6-year anniversary. And although I'm not with this company anymore, NSA Wrestling will be having an event called Patriot Games 2, and they're going to be at the AMVET Post 9. It's going to be July 20th as well.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to be with us. Enjoyed having all of you on here. Hopefully we'll all get to be back on here again in the near future. Best of luck to all of you as you continue on with your careers. I will see all of you, I'm sure, at some point in time or another. Most of you relatively soon. And fans, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple other shows I missed earlier. Tomorrow night, Dowd Wrestling, one of my other old stomping grounds, going to be happening in Fune, Farina, North Carolina. And also, you have DCCW in Muncie, Indiana. So get out there, support them if you're in those areas. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. This coming Sunday, we're going to have, from Blue Collar Wrestling, Douglas Rockefeller on the program. Should be a fascinating hour with him. So get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling wherever it might be, and we will talk to you on Sunday afternoon.
Thank you.